Do it.
And we're live.
All right.
How's it going, guys?
It's going really well.
It's good. It's going great. How are you?
I'm great. We are here. We are the Nolan Nerdcast. Matt is on assignment to fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'll be on pun duty tonight.
You don't have. You could take the night off.
A whole notebook.
No, he does. He has a whole notebook of puns.
Oh, please don't. No, not like this. So, I guess let's talk about the news, such as it is, because after Comic-Con, there's not a lot of news to talk about.
They have Comic-Con.
Comic-Con happened last week.
Yeah.
But did you guys happen to see the new Venom trailer?
No, I did not see the entire new trailer. I didn't know that happened.
It is something else. I'm not gonna lie.
Is it something else, like a good something else, or is it something else like it's horrific?
I mean, you ask the hard questions. I'm going to say that this leans to me more like Ghost Rider than it does to something good.
Like which Ghost Rider?
Yeah, which Ghost Rider? Like Psycho, second Ghost Rider that's at least enjoyable. For watching
let's say first Ghost Rider.
Oh God, that's the worst Ghost Rider.
There's a line in the trailer where he tells a mugger that he's going to float like a turd in the wind.
What?
Yes, that is a line from the trailer. So I don't know. It might be cool, but
can we
trailer?
It kind of feels like they're never going to pull off the Venom thing.
Can we?
But they're going to keep trying to keep the rights. Wait,
when is this movie coming out again?
Like in 2 weeks, like in 2 months.
All right, so can we officially just boycott the rest of the comic book movies?
I mean, if you want. I don't think it's going to stop it.
I didn't think it was going to self-destruct this way.
Not like this?
Not like this, yeah.
It's a real monkey paw of a movie.
I just and the James Gunn stuff, like between the two things, I'm just. You
know. It's been a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The most important lesson is delete your Twitter.
Yeah,
I mean, no matter what, delete it.
Yeah.
Delete it. Throw it in the trash. It's not worth the fucking 15 extra people in the theater you got.
Yeah. And if possible, don't have one to start with.
Just burn it.
Yeah, burn it down. As you've noticed, Matt's not here. Don't worry. I've got a couple of lists to entertain the masses until Matt gets back. So I found this list on the denofgeek.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the top 25 underappreciated comic book movies. So this must mean that these are movies that people don't give a fair shake to.
Yeah, like they're better than what
the country at large gave them. And I flipped through this list, and I would argue that these are appreciated at the level they should be appreciated at.
So can we call it the movie list, comic book movie lists that are appreciated at the level that they're appreciated at?
I thought that's very wordy. So let's just stick with underappreciated. You know what? We'll let you be the judge of how underappreciated these movies are.
The most overrated, underappreciated movies of all time.
Yeah.
The most accurately rated comic book movies of all time.
What company is going to be the ballsy company that puts that out? Like, this is 100% accurate.
I kind of feel like with this list, we should start at number one and work our way to the top.
Hey, you know what? Matt's not here. It's a wild, wild west. Let's do it.
I like this.
All right.
Because I think 25 might be the most underappreciated movie on this list, and number one is probably Hot Garbage.
Yeah. Number one is Cars 2.
Well, you asked for it. Number one is Ang Lee's Hulk.
Okay, it is underappreciated. And I think you might be right. That's the only one.
So I haven't seen this movie since maybe a year after it came out on DVD.
Yeah, it's really old at this point. I don't know if it would be dated or not. I remember my impression of it when it came out, and that it was shat on, and I didn't understand why.
They didn't have that cool setup with the comic book, like the panels?
Yeah, yeah.
They did.
That's some really inventive directing. It took the comic book thing a little literally, but it was kind of clever. The problem is the ending. That's all I ever had a problem with.
That was a big problem. One of my issues was there was not enough Hulk in this movie. There was a little too much Eric Bana.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, probably would have been a complaint of any take on the first film, you know?
Yeah.
I think Joss Whedon's the first guy that stumbled into the correct path where it's like, if you don't set up the Hulk as terrifying, then Bruce is just the guy getting in between you and the enjoyment of the film. Which is why, like, in Avengers, like, Hulk is set up as an uncontrollable, like, threat to the heroes right out of the gate. You know, he's about to kill Black Widow and shit like that. Because if you do that, then we're not rooting for the Hulk to come out anymore. We're afraid of the Hulk coming out. And then when he comes out in the right place, because there's another bigger monster, he's like Godzilla, right?
Yeah.
That then you're like, you get the catharsis of the fight. But if you, like, if you're just waiting for the Hulk, then who gives a shit? You know, they should have just thrown the Hulk out in the first 2 minutes. And yeah. Then, you know, and then put him back in the box after he does some fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know? Let him go to town in the opening. Like, instead of at the end, where he beats up Abomination and destroy most of an entire neighborhood.
Well, you can just reverse the whole movie.
Yeah.
I also remember Nick Nolte was not so great in that movie. As a version of the Absorbing Man.
Is this also around the time that Nick Nolte was just losing his mind?
I believe so. This was like 2003.
I think this was after he had gotten arrested and had that crazy ass picture.
Yeah, the infamous mugshot.
Because he looks a little bit like I don't even know. Like,
it's really the hair.
Yeah, the hair in it was just insane. Yeah. But yeah, I remember it being a very this is culturally Asian take on the whole thing, because like lots of movies like Akira and Neon Genesis Evangelion, like they have these big action setups and then they end with some sort of weird psychological revelation instead of a fight, which is what this movie did. It made a big bubble inside which he confronted his issues with his father. And it was like, that's not why I go to a Hulk movie. You can do that in like a Doctor Strange movie or something, you know? Like something a little bit more cerebral. You can pull it off.
But not Hulk.
Not Hulk, no.
Hmm. Okay.
Hulk
should punch his problem.
That's in the proper place in this list. In this large list that we
have. I think I need to revisit.
This is underappreciated on this list, perhaps.
Yeah.
We'll see what's above it.
Number two.
Number two is Dread, the Carl Urban Dread movie.
Okay.
I think this movie is definitely underappreciated.
Yeah,
yeah.
That might be a little low.
Because it's excellent.
It's fucking great.
No,
I think the reason it suffered was because three movies with the same plot came out within a few months of each other.
That's so true. It's very similar to The Raid and...
And that last Punisher Warzone movie.
Yes.
Had an ending.
Oh, yeah.
Where it ends in the building and Punisher has to kill through it, his way through it.
Yeah, the whole gauntlet thing going through.
Yeah, it's a great conceit for an action movie, but it was way overused that year.
Yeah. Like, it would have been nice to get an Arkham Asylum movie out.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Number three, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Is that underappreciated?
I think it's appreciated the right amount.
Yeah.
I think it's it might be appreciated by not enough people. Maybe it wasn't seen by enough people.
It wasn't at the time.
Yeah, at the time. But I think it's one of those movies that just, it finds its audience once it exists, you know, like in time.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, if we're rating it by underappreciatedness, which is a very difficult thing to do, which is a negative list. Right? Like
right.
The most underappreciated has to be number one.
Right.
Then Scott Pilgrim should probably be at the bottom. Right? Like,
yeah.
Because it's totally appreciated.
Right. If we're reversing this list like we just did,
I think maybe that's what happened.
This movie is actually in the right place.
Yeah. Because Dread straight up bombed. That's underappreciated.
Like, yeah.
Scott Pilgrim didn't do as well as it should have, considering its cost.
But it still did
but
well.
Dread didn't. didn't cost much at all and still bombed.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody went to see it. Probably because of the last movie.
Yeah, but it was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I think it'd be interesting to see how Scott Pilgrim ages the further away from 2012, 10?
I watched it a few months ago. It ages strangely if you're not familiar with being from that generation.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
If you're not in that generation, and I don't mean being a millennial,
so
but I
aimed at at the Nintendo generation. Where we were born around the time of Atari.
Yeah.
And raised on the console.
And even 90s music and so on. So you
Seinfeld.
You definitely had to be a teenager in the 90s in order to still appreciate that movie.
Yeah, I agree. Number four, Ghost World.
Oh, shit.
I haven't seen Ghost World, so I have no dog in this.
That's there. That's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought they were going to stick squarely in the superhero genre, though.
But not,
you know, the obviously comic book genre.
Oh, wow.
Ghost World's great. It's still why I think Scarlett Johansson's a better actress than she gets credit for. Because my first impressions were
It appreciated the right amount?
I would say no. I think like four people have seen it.
Yeah. So wait, it's two out of three people on this podcast have seen it.
Yeah. And then there's two people on another podcast.
I know, right? That's it. It's the only people.
They work for Den of Geek.
Yeah, don't forget the Ghost World Minute by Minute podcast.
Oh god. Yeah, that's right. They're doing a binge watch of the movie.
I haven't seen it, so I got nothing for it. Number five is another one I haven't seen. Is Tank Girl?
Oh, I love Tank Girl.
Yeah, that's a fun movie.
But do you love Tank Girl ironically or unironically?
Unironically.
Okay.
It's sort of making fun of itself.
Yeah, I like it because it's so mid-90s.
It's extremely mid-90s, but it's also like there's parts like where, you know, she's being tortured on the table. And Malcolm McDowell's like all in her face or whatever, and then she just flips him off and is like laughing hysterically.
I win.
Yeah. There's something punk rock about it.
Yeah, that's all it's hard. It is a cool punk rock.
Lori Petty, you know,
comic book movie, and
it's got Ice-T as a kangaroo guy.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's insane.
It's insane.
It was too crazy for them. I think you could totally get away with it in the post Guardians world. You could make a Tank Girl easy with a huge budget, but back then it was like, we're going to give you like $5. We don't understand this property, but they masked it well.
It was, you know, honestly, it was a really messy movie. Production value was garbage, but the switch between...
They've got literal animated parts in that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The switch between live action and anime is something that's beautiful about that movie.
Yeah. Have you tried to rewatch like The Mask with Jim Carrey? In the past 10 years.
I'm scared to go back to it.
I feel like that movie
is
on this list.
It is fucking hot garbage.
Yeah.
And it's like something about that weird height of Jim Carrey era is squarely in the years it was in.
Yeah.
And the movies he was trying to do that no one would go see they're dating extremely well. They're aging well. Like The Truman Show is better than it used to be. The Mask and Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura are like, what the fuck was even going on? Were we that happy that?
The 90s were fucking wild.
Yeah, Whereas Tank Girl is like exactly what I want right now.
Yeah.
But it came out in the middle of people being fine with things.
Yeah.
They just wanted a cartoon guy.
I'm surprised no one's even thought about like going back to it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think they would have tried to license it again.
Number six is Kick-Ass 2.
Haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it. I would say that it is underappreciated. That's probably one of the few comic movies I didn't go out to the theater to even try.
Yeah.
I have seen it. I think it is appreciated at exactly the right value.
Yeah.
It is not as good as the first Kick-Ass.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I didn't, you know.
The first Kick-Ass took Mark Millar's fucked up story and kind of smoothed off the edges and made it a little palatable.
Yeah.
But
still kind of wild. And the comic of Kick-Ass 2 is so disgusting and vulgar and there's just nothing that you can do in Kick-Ass 2 to make it better.
Yeah.
So it's a mess of a movie, and it's right where it should be. It's not good.
I would say, like, also, like, this is my problem with this list is going to be you should either populate it with Dreads or populate it with Kick-Ass 2s.
There's only two Dreads.
No, what I mean is those are two different types of underappreciated.
Yeah, okay.
But should be you defending movies that are resoundingly disliked.
Yeah.
Like Daredevil.
Yeah.
The original. Or
Steel.
Which might be number one, because if you've seen the director's cut, it's great.
Yeah.
It was not great, but it's a movie. It's good.
It's
but
good.
Yeah, it should be like that. Dawn of Justice. Ultimately, you know, if you defend Dawn of Justice to me, you know,
okay, I see.
Or you should be, here's a bunch of movies none of you have fucking seen, and you should really go out and do that right now, which is Dread.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Dread.
It's a weird amalgam of both.
Yeah. This list is thematically asymmetrical.
Yeah. Number seven is the Keanu Reeves Constantine.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's underappreciated. But see, that's in the direct category for me.
Yeah.
It's a solid film.
I would say slightly underappreciated. I think the main thing to go to Dread to see is Tilda Swinton and Peter Stormare.
It belongs toward the bottom, being the least underappreciated. Fucking double negative list.
Tilda Swinton was amazing in this movie.
Yes, that's one of the most perfect castings I've ever seen.
And Peter Stormare may be one of the best devils I've seen.
Like, but not the right devil. Like, here's my thing is, he's not right for Lucifer in the Vertigo world, but what a great version of Lucifer. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what a great performance. I love how Peter Stormare makes everyone disgusting. Like, when you play the character, he finds some sort of physical ailment or something to have so that he's gross. Like, in Minority Report, he's got a cold for no reason while he's operating on Tom Cruise's eye. In this one, he's just gross and his feet drip with blood. I thought that was a great element.
You know, I didn't even consider the fact that as a Vertigo Lucifer, it's a failure.
Yeah, right? It's awful. But thing is, if you were going to do that, what I got the idea of in Constantine was if they had succeeded at making more Vertigo movies, I wanted Stormare and his performance to show up in a Sandman movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't have any crossovers other than it's the same devil.
Yeah.
In all of these movies, you know? That would have been cool. But this is like, as much as it's not that Lucifer, it's such a great performance that I'm going bored, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
Number eight is V for Vendetta.
I feel like that's appreciated exactly right.
And it's appreciated in strange cult like ways.
I think it's appreciated the right way.
Yeah.
I think people have taken the wrong message from it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the Wachowski's different ending sends the wrong message. Never fuck with Alan Moore's stuff. Because when you think you've fixed some ending or whatever, what you've done is you've broken story. Like, I love V for Vendetta the movie, but V for Vendetta the movie and V for Vendetta the graphic novel are two completely different things, even though only the end is different. And it's because the end of V for Vendetta is a very Wachowski rallying cry to revolution.
Yeah.
For the underappreciated, everybody is a member of the fucking, you know, anyone is V, you know, like sort of thing. Anyone can be the one. Sense-H, woo, everybody's one. But the Alan Moore one is like, life is death and pain. And everyone gets raped. And then you die when you try to kill your rape. Sometimes rapers go.
That's incredible.
That's the movie. That's the comic, not the movie.
No, I agree. I think it's rated exactly right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Alan Moore. Goodness. That's the impression, everyone.
When you do another Alan Moore, you need to be louder. All right. Number nine is Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
That's super appreciated. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who are these guys talking to?
I don't know. This is absolutely appreciated enough.
Like that's several people's deservedly favorite Batman movie.
Yeah, that's a really good... It's such a tie to the animated series, and it's... I feel like it's a great...
I would say I'd put it, like, as my third favorite behind Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
So,
but over all the Tim Burton movies,
yeah,
over Dark Knight Rises, you know, my only problem is I hate when the Joker's a criminal instead of a normal guy.
If I may throw out merely a suggestion, I think one of the reasons why it's on this list and underappreciated is because it's not anywhere to find.
That's true.
Really?
So no kid who's the right age for this has seen it, because it's...
Anybody has the VHS?
I had the VHS in the clamshell.
Yeah.
I did not have the VHS.
I don't have a VCR anymore.
Well, there's places that...
I can transfer it.
I found a place in Michigan that transfers.
I
know.
It's in the middle of Detroit, isn't it? It's a tire shop you go in the
back. Yeah, it is. It really is. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Remember there being any DVDs? No Blu-ray release for that? But I don't remember an announcement for it anyway. Weird.
I think with it getting a Blu-ray, it's going to be part of the Batman the Animated Series box set.
It is?
That and the Sub-Zero movie, and they're all going to be upgraded to HD, so I think...
I love the Sub-Zero movie, too.
So I think at that point, it'll be reevaluated.
Well, now I have to fucking get the entire Batman Animated Series box set.
That's not a bad
which
thing.
Is not a thing against.
Yeah. Right, I had the same thought. I was looking at that box, I was like, I don't know. And then it showed, oh yeah, we also throw in these in, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck me, I guess.
Holy shit, it's not that bad. It's only like $100.
That's not bad.
Number 10 is Persepolis.
Holy Jesus.
So these guys are just doing like graphic novels.
My thing is...
I see this.
This is also underappreciated, but like I said, it's pointing out to me that there's a nuance to the word. Because some of it is just unseen.
Yeah.
And some of it is thought of as weak, you know, but actually is still worth watching. And so, but see, I would make an entire list out of things where I argue to you that they're good.
Like,
I can write a dissertation why Sucker Punch is the only Zack Snyder movie that's good.
This movie has gotten, like, a lot of praise among...
And I will talk you into it.
Like, this movie got a lot of praise among critics.
Yes.
So
is it underappreciated? I think it's just unseen.
It's unseen. That's exactly what that is. Yeah.
That's appreciated.
It's an unseen movie. It's not underappreciated. It's probably underappreciated from comic book fans, but fuck those guys.
I think from people who have seen it, it is appropriately appreciated, but no one has seen it.
That's it. They didn't pick an audience.
Yeah.
So this is on an unappreciated list for comic book fans.
Yeah.
Who aren't giving Persepolis a chance because it's all weird adult indie political stuff, right?
Yeah.
But from the point of view of a regular audience, it is appreciated. And Dread isn't. You see what I mean?
I do. No, I see that.
So, like, you got to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? You're a Den of Geek, so you should be telling comic book fans to go see movies they didn't go.
Yeah, like this movie.
Like this one.
It's like, if you're going to support one comic book movie, you should support them.
But if you're talking about who didn't go to see Persepolis, people who love Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
That's...
All right. Number 11 is Flash Gordon.
Nice.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It is a piece of hot greatness. No, I'm just... It is a steaming pile of okay.
It kind of is a steaming pile of okay.
It is like, okay, you got set design by the Star Wars guy because they were hiring him to do everything at that point. And the cinematography, I think, also. You know, like the set design guy did Dune at that point.
Yeah, it's also a movie.
But it's super campy.
Yeah.
And would have benefited from like a John Carpenter thing. It's like the script felt like it was written by John Carpenter, the way they wrote Flash as this like cocky, not that smart guy who is going to save the world. You know, like, it could have been Rowdy Roddy Piper in there. Way better movie.
It would have been fantastic. I don't understand why he wasn't. Like, kind of like, now the recasting sounds great.
I came here to save the world and chew bubblegum.
The next couple of these are graphic novels. So I'm just going to breeze through them unless you guys have, like, some insight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 12 is American Splendor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Never saw it.
Number 13 is Road to Perdition.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be Road to Perdition.
This movie is, this is
way
a very,
better than it was given credit
and, but
for.
This is a very appreciated movie.
But yeah, it's
this appreciated. Really is.
But once again,
cinematography, writing.
This is good for the Persepolis list.
Yeah, this movie is appreciated by the film community.
Yeah.
Did it do well? I don't remember.
Yeah, it did okay.
It did okay.
Okay.
It did garbage for a Tom Hanks movie at the time.
Yes.
But it did good enough to not be a total failure.
But I remember when I had tons of conversations about this movie because the cinematography is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah,
movie, and it's one
gorgeous.
Of the prettiest movies.
And it's also, okay, this is why it was considered a little bit of a failure, because it was a Tom Hanks movie with the director of American Beauty. So it should have, it was just one Best Picture.
Yeah.
So, like, it was supposed to do all this business, and then it kind
of
didn't.
I just think that, I think the tone put off a lot of people, too.
Yeah, it was Tom Hanks as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a thing they were ready for yet.
Yeah.
Really great cast.
I love Max Landis' idea of having him as Lex Luthor, though. In one of his pitches, he pitched, and
that's
you could tell
great.
They used
oh,
a
wow,
video
that's just great.
Overlapped
yeah.
with him playing Disney.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because it was his pitch was that Lex comes in and gets Superman to work for him, rehabilitate his image after Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And then turns out he's manipulating him into fighting, which, of course, Zack Snyder keeps using all of Max Landis' pitches, but then, like, gets mad at him for not liking the movies and makes him into Lex Luthor. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because Max Landis is kind of a dick, but he's pitching.
Number 14 is The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Seck.
The Luc Besson movie. Well, that was
yeah.
only in France, so why didn't it
yeah.
never came out in the theater here? Which is probably why it's
It yeah. said polished, original, and witty. It's a film unfairly overlooked for being French language.
It's got a pterodactyl in it.
Yeah, and a mummy that's walking around just in a suit.
Yeah,
I've never even heard of this before I saw the list. So
it's it was Luc Besson's return to directing.
Yeah,
but every time he does an American one, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's
for some reason
it's silly. But it's, I don't know, it's fun. It's
yeah,
a fun movie.
Just like Valeria, it's a French graphic novel in the first place. An old French character. She's like a female Indiana Jones through her character, and I think they were setting up a series, but it didn't do well internationally because nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
Off the speed, it's on Amazon. Number 15 is The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah, okay, see, this belongs on an actual underappreciated. I don't understand this. Okay, so Rocketeer really is underappreciated.
Yeah,
it's
no,
really
that film
great,
is. That film
but
is.
But everyone's kind of mad on it. You know what I mean? Like,
but
that's underappreciated.
That man, I don't understand the mad on it, because
that's what I mean. That's what belongs on a list.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it came out in 91, if I recall correctly.
Underappreciated because before The Crow,
yeah,
like, The Crow starts it turns the wheel. And then by the time you get to Blade, you have your first real success that's not literally Batman or Superman, right? And then you start building up steam because Marvel's building up money.
Yeah.
And selling their properties. And the comic book boom starts. But 91, they're not really blowing up. And Disney was doing this in their live action.
But they never – the one thing with the marketing of that movie, they never marketed it as a comic book movie. They marketed this as kind of like a Disney property.
It was like Disney adventure.
Yeah.
Like an Indiana Jones.
It was more like a Disney movie. So people didn't even associate it with a comic book. So people didn't even come in thinking, oh, I'm watching a comic book
movie.
Yeah,
because they weren't trying to do that stuff.
Yeah. But visually, this movie is – the production design in this movie is just
– it's Joe Johnson.
Oh, my God, yes.
He does First Avenger.
Yeah.
That's why I thought he was perfect for First Avenger.
Yeah. He did The Rocketeer, and he did Storyboards.
I would put this as if I had to think of an underappreciated list, I would put this as number two.
Yeah, I'd put it up pretty high. Let's see where we're at. But I really do think like that. This is the most literal underappreciated film so far.
Yeah. Number 16, Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
We just talked about this. Belongs on a list of bad movies you're defending. This is on the Kick-Ass 2 list.
Yeah.
So I refuse to see any of these Ghost Rider movies.
As you should.
So, no. What is it? Is it appreciated? Underappreciated?
I don't think it's
appreciated the right amount.
I think everybody kind of has no emotions on it, but I will say that it is fun to watch Nicolas Cage do the mocap for Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Which was a new step because he goes. What I would have liked to see is as Johnny, him do his, like, Leaving Las Vegas, Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah.
And as Ghost Rider, do the full-blown, like...
The Bees!
Yes. Exactly. It goes from Leaving Las Vegas to the Bees. You know? But it was directed by the Crank 2 guys, and the whole time I'm watching it, it was like watching Ryan Reynolds beat Green Lantern. It's not a good fit. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's the Flash, and you can just... And he's Deadpool. You can tell that when you're looking at it, right? Well, while I'm watching this one, I'm like, they should have been shooting Deadpool. The Crank 2 guys are the perfect Deadpool directors.
Yeah.
And they've never been asked. But if you've seen Crank 2, that's the first Deadpool movie. which I wish there were more.
Just Staten isn't really a great Deadpool.
No, but he is on fire at the end and could have been in a costume in the next movie.
Yeah, number 17, Turtles Forever. This is the animated Ninja Turtles movie, which combines all the Ninja Turtle teams together in one.
Yeah, that one was great. That's the one they did, like...
was that the animated one?
The new animated show. It has a Shredder that is Krang. Like, it's an alien parasite in a robot body. That's Shredder. And he's actually evil and fucking murders people and, like, it's really dark and shit. And he gets his hands on the Technodrome from the 90s.
Wait, this is this movie?
Yeah. And so he turns old Shredder and Krang into his bitch, takes the Technodrome, and starts trying to wipe out the turtles in every dimension.
So we have the turtles from our childhood, the 1980s turtles, meet up with the gritty 2003 turtles.
Who then meet the turtles that make them both look like pieces of shit for children.
Yeah.
The book turtles at the end.
The murder turtles, yeah, I call them.
Black and white world, and they've killed Shredder like 20 years ago.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. This is...
I heard... I haven't seen this, but I've heard it was not as good as you wanted it to be.
It's highly satisfying for, like... I felt like it was, like, a really good 2-3-parter of the new show. It didn't feel... Like, it's not like Mask of the Phantasm or something where you really feel like you got a cinematic experience that happened to be drawn like the cartoon. I would say, like, still my favorite underappreciated Ninja Turtles would be TMNT.
Yeah, I was thinking that one.
I agree.
Like, it had the cast that movie should have had if it were live action. Like, Chris Evans as Casey Jones and Sarah Michelle Gellar as April.
Would
have been a killer movie in, like...
And Patrick Stewart as the villain.
Yeah, holy shit.
That was a really good movie.
I still feel like the first Ninja Turtle movie is under...
I find the first Ninja Turtle movie I am unable to judge with any kind of... without any bias. I honestly don't know if it's a good movie, because every time I watch it, I get transported back to being six.
The original?
Yeah,
I think the original is good, but yeah, it is tied into, like, I get that, you know, like, when you have a really weird memory and you have a sinus feeling? Like, I can smell my house from when I was six.
When you were watching it, there's memories connected to, yeah.
When he's spinning the nunchuck on his finger, like, I have a distinct, you know, when they're playing the Trivial Pursuit. Also, what's interesting about that movie is Sam Rockwell. So,
oh, yeah, baby Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Wait, what?
He's in that movie. He's one of the Foot Clan kids.
Like, the place with the skateboards and stuff. They made, like, that thing to lure kids in to train them.
Oh, to be the foot. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can smoke and shit. He's selling cartons of cigarettes to kids. And
the Foot Clan hideout was the coolest thing I could have conceived of at 6 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So radical.
Yeah, so rad. So what are we at on this list again?
We're at number 18, and that is, we were talking about this earlier, The Mask.
Yeah.
That was a blockbuster hit.
Yep. And
I think it's overappreciated.
Yep.
Because I rewatched it, and it is not even funny. I was sitting there like, it was like crickets. And I was like, I remember how intensely I loved Jim Carrey. And I still do. But I love him for who he is now. For
different reasons.
Kind of was. Yeah, like this crazy dude who's really good dramatically and comedically. Like,
yeah, the combination is great.
But like,
The Mask is a mess.
The Mask.
I'm terrified to go back and revisit The Mask and Ace Ventura.
No, you should.
You should because, A,
Ace Ventura is okay.
The Mask will explain Green Hornet.
I liked Green Hornet, so that's okay.
It's like the same movie. Green Hornet is like a mid-90s superhero movie, which is why it should be on the list, actually, of underappreciated ones.
Yeah.
Because it's actually better than it was, than it was received, but it's just not good for right now. And Jim Carrey in Batman Forever explains Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2. I still don't know why they lifted that entire plot.
That's weird.
Yeah. And turned him into a...
We'll never know.
Yeah, I don't know the psychology behind that.
Sony.
Number 19 is Dick Tracy.
Okay.
I would move this up. On this,
I haven't seen this since the 90s.
So one thing about this movie is color palettes.
Yes.
This is a movie that uses color in some
really
cool
ways. Well, this
really
is similar to Rocketeer in that it actually was mimicking the look of its source material and the feel of it. And if you don't know what it's doing, you know, like it might have been a little too late
or too early. Yeah,
yeah,
it's too much for you. But it's a beautifully composed movie. Like just the bright colors, the bright outfits.
It's Sin City before Sin City.
Yeah, and it's really over the top with everybody, just the way the Dick Tracy comic is.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back and revisit it, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. Number 20 is The Losers.
Oh, that is underappreciated. It was really good, but nobody.
I think it is slightly underappreciated.
Yeah,
I think if it had not come out the same summer as the A-Team, we would have a different conversation.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah,
The Losers was a fun fucking movie.
Also, that was when Chris Evans was on a string of underappreciation.
Yeah,
like from Sunshine to Losers.
Yeah,
he did four movies where he did an amazingly good or entertaining performance, and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got Cap, which was not what I saw coming.
There's a lot of the MCU in there. Zoe Saldana, Idris Elba, and Chris Evans.
That's right.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, and then the comedian.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
I wish it had done better so we could have more Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a lead in movies.
Yeah. Well, he's probably the only reason to watch Walking Dead right now. I don't watch Walking Dead, but I've seen bits of him as the whatever he's called. The
Negan.
Mayor, the governor. Negan, that's right. He's after the governor. And he is entertaining. He's got that effortless charm going toward being evil, and that's really good.
That's all I want. number 21, Daredevil, specifically the director's cut.
There we go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Not in 21. I don't think it's right at 21. I think it's tough. You put it
I think this is my this number one on the list of movies you think are bad that weren't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. That director's cut's really good.
Like if I would put this
it's better
on a list of director's cuts that changed the whole movie.
Yeah,
that take a movie from being unwatchable to watchable. Because that's what it does. It makes it like I wouldn't have been angry leaving the theater if I'd seen this movie. I would have just been like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? Instead of being like, what the actual hell was that? And going, this movie was like 90 minutes long like a cartoon.
And I felt like it
they
was
had
just,
plenty of room to put in good stuff.
I think the only problem with that movie is that it reflects too much of that late 90s, early aughts MTV.
Yeah. It's ripping
cuts.
Too much directorial wise. It's doing too much post-Crow work.
Yeah,
what I call it.
Yeah,
that Equilibrium, Ultraviolet,
yeah, everything is
Daredevil, a couple other movies like that first Punisher movie. There's a glossiness to it, regardless of the tone of the story.
What about regular pacing camera that goes into speed, then it goes into slow-mo? Or slow-mo, and it goes into speed real quick? I never understood.
People didn't, like, Alex Proyas had a particular style that had a little bit of a comic book mimicry to it.
Yeah.
Where he went from, he did a lot of static setups. So it was like panels where the character moved within it.
Yeah.
And it was fastly cut together, like at the pacing of a page, which is why like the Crow movie still kind of works, you know, but everybody else ripping them off, and you can tell everybody who ripped them off because they all write the name or logo in fire at some point during the movie.
It's true.
Forgotten that one moment
in the Crow.
Yeah. Which is still the only one that makes any sense. Even though it doesn't make sense, it makes any sense.
Yeah. The Daredevil writing his name in the fire does not make any sense.
Punisher writing the skull and fire. The Fantastic Four, like...
Yeah, none of that makes any sense.
We loved it. We loved it in the early 2000s.
Did we?
We loved nothing in the 2000s. Yeah. We were so scared of Al-Qaeda that we accepted any dog shit. Nickelback and fucking Creed, Limp Bizkit, and the Daredevil directed... Anyway.
Oh, man. Slither?
We're just like, it's fine. What is this?
Matt's going to watch this episode, and he's going to be like, Nickelback is my favorite.
Of course it is.
Speaking of Seether and bad soundtracks and fire, number 22 is The Punisher, the Thomas Jane Punisher.
Thomas Jane's underappreciated as a Punisher.
Yes.
But the movie itself is, once again, glossy and forgettable. That's what people were like pumping out there for a while.
So here's what I like about the Thomas Jane Punisher. I like Thomas Jane.
Yeah, there you go. like Timothy Dalton as Bond, man. He never got his actual moment. He was good.
Right, he was good.
The movies just weren't.
They weren't good.
Right.
I also liked Kevin Nash as the Russian.
Ah, yes.
but all the rest of them, you can fucking keep. Yeah. like poor Rebecca Romijn, and then the fat guy, and then the other guy.
Ooh, yeah, that was
fucking weird. Whatever.
Yeah.
Number 23 is Supergirl.
Oh, Supergirl. Sorry, it took me a second.
Yeah. So I can't imagine anyone appreciating this, so I find it very hard to judge on that merit.
Supergirl has some moments, like the fact that she's a good casting for it. But other than that, it's so 70s, it makes you want to cry.
Okay.
It's like all of the...
It's so cheap.
...of the daughter Superman without any of the good parts, you know?
Okay.
So it has the benefit of being kind of true to all Supergirl mythos, but it kind of blended every Supergirl mythos in a blender, and we have this Supergirl slurry of magic and maybe superpowers and the Phantom Zone... And no Superman.
It felt like a She-Ra movie that Supergirl wandered into by accident and She-Ra forgot to show up.
Like She-Ra as a Masters of the Universe style movie?
Yeah, if they had a Masters of the Universe feel, only it was Supergirl. The tone never made any sense. Like by the time she's like confronting her grandma in a hole over the Phantom Zone, but with she's a witch, and I was like, What am I actually watching?
What a fucking mess of a movie.
I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen
it? Oh my, guess what? Josh, it's coming out on Blu-ray later this year.
Oh, we're getting it. We're having a fun party.
Don't threaten him with a good time.
And hopefully there's a riff tracks to follow.
I'm sure there will be. Number 24 is Generation X.
The pilot?
I guess.
Holy shit, yeah, that's underappreciated because like four people have seen it. Me and my best friend and no one else.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, bootleg tape from a con guy, you know?
I just remember seeing
Let's have a moment to thank the con guy who always has some garbage at his
shit you never were gonna get
like
to see.
Like some previews for this on Fox, I think it was.
Yeah, it was going to be on Fox.
And
who had the X-Men cartoon.
And that was
so
it.
That
was it. And it was, and Jubilee was in it.
Yeah.
It was Jubilee, Banshee, White Queen.
And Matt Frewer.
and like some other characters. Like they had made up some new ones because they didn't do everybody because like they didn't do Chamber.
Yeah,
because they couldn't.
Chamber they made up another rad. Guy.
Chamber would have been a mess in 1996. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
He would have just had a rag out of his mouth.
Right? And they had, you know, horrible accents for Banshee. But the pilot was, like, a thing I would have watched if they had
But it's not it. A movie. It's a pilot.
It's like a...
Oh, it's a film. It's a film.
It's kind of a film.
It's like one of those backdoor...
1996, like, February 20th, 1996.
Yeah.
It looks...
Wasn't on TV. I mean, it wasn't on in the theaters in it. It might have premiered as a, you know, one of those things where they run the pilot.
Made for TV.
And if it got enough viewing,
yeah,
it was going to be a series, but it never got picked up.
87 minutes.
By the way, has anyone seen The Gifted?
No, I've heard it's way better than it has a right to be.
It's very, very good. I'm about halfway through. It's very good.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, this is my thing is Fox is actually on an uptick with the X properties.
Just in time to sell them all.
In the hole. Yeah. On the whole. But it's been since Marvel started – when they started doing TV, the thing is that has to be participation with Marvel because they don't have TV rights. Marvel does. They have the film rights. It's two separate rights. So in order – but I'm sure there's like a non-compete clause where Marvel can't just put out a fucking X-Men show while you're running X-Men movies. So they have to agree to work together. And Legion is fucking amazing.
Yeah, Legion is.
Which, by the way,
I've only seen one episode of Legion.
Season two, I was in the middle of. Season one is just like, it's trippy. It's the Twin Peaks of fucking superhero
shows.
It's
so awesome.
But
oh my God,
with a little bit more guidance, obviously. But yeah, that's fantastic. Obviously, Logan was amazing.
Yeah.
Deadpool. And then I've heard this is great. So they're kind of in their golden era, to be honest with you. Like, if they stop hiring Singer,
yeah,
because he's dated at this point. His approach is dated. We've moved past it. We're in like a weird adult post. You know, we're in the dark times, and you're still hiring Chris Claremont.
Yeah,
because he's a little cheesy now. You know, and you know what? If this movie, look. That last one, right? The Apocalypse movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right.
Two things that would have made that movie great. One is, he looked like Apocalypse. Like that fucking other guy who was commissioned,
yeah,
made an Apocalypse mask out of Oscar Isaac, and they rejected it. And it looks fucking like Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Two, if right at the end when they're all lined up in the danger room and it's fucking Jean Grey and Cyclops, and it's the actual fucking team, Nightcrawler, right? If it just drifted that score into the actual X-Men theme?
Or from the comic book?
From the cartoon.
Well, the cartoon, yeah, the 90s cartoon.
With a symphonic version, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Just even a little bit, a couple of bars of it.
Yeah.
Just to end it up, you know, like when the Imperial March will sneak in somewhere and make you feel evil. Like.
And finally, the final one on this list, number 25, Mystery Men.
Which is number one.
Yeah, right. No, this is good. This is the other thing. There's another list. There's a fourth list.
Mystery Men.
So this list has basically been chopped into pieces.
Which is comic book movies from before the boom.
Mystery Men is
that no one watched.
It's
a gem.
It is. It really is. Eddie Izzard's great. Ben Stiller's awesome in this. It's funny. It's
Garofalo.
Weird. Frankenova.
Hank Azaria.
Yeah. Frankenstein, Casanova. Casanova Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The villain.
I think this movie didn't do that well because it was hardcore black comedy. And Greg Kinnear plays the Superman analog, and they murder him for 7 minutes by accident.
If I also recall correctly, the marketing made it look like it was like an actual superhero movie?
Yeah, they sold it like it was a normal superhero movie. This is this is a thing of underappreciated things, too, that I want to talk about. Hudson Hawk, the big hit, Mystery Men,
yeah.
Several other ones are a product of marketing a movie that isn't. But everyone who walks in the theater is disappointed.
Yes.
The big hit was a comedy that had John Woo action in it. If you sell me on that, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But they just had a silent you know, rock music, fucking John Woo action.
Yeah.
So you walk in there, and then it's jerk-off jokes. Like, this guy's exercising his right hand so he can masturbate with it later for the whole movie. And it's like, if you walk into that thinking you're watching Romeo Must Die or some shit, you're going to walk out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. And Mystery Men, if you think that's a regular superhero movie.
But it was weird. When I remember it was like 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for it, and I was just like, I got to see this.
I believe All-Star was on the soundtrack.
Yeah, it was. It was the first instance.
I was kind of like entertained by the trailer, because a trailer I saw had Dane Cook in it as the Waffler.
That's the video for All-Star.
Oh, never mind that. He's also in
Mission All-Star is the only real trailer for that movie, because the trailers portray it as just a superhero movie.
Okay, the music that's video. Slightly funny.
So I remember getting duped by the trailer, and then I remember not liking this movie.
They're gonna win the day and save the Superman.
I think there's also that great scene when they're doing where the guy shows up and he's like, "Oh, this guy's promising," and he's the ballerina.
Yeah, it's the audition scene.
Yeah,
that's what Dane Cook is. He's the Waffler auditioning. And that was when Dane Cook was actually funny. And don't. He was. So the
oh, and then there's the PMS Avenger. Yeah. She only works a week.
Listen, it's good. You know that is actually it was a Flaming Carrot movie without the Flaming Carrot in it. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Flaming Carrot, but it's like a big long fire for the top, and he goes a lot. Anyway, Mystery Men is his superhero team he eventually puts together, but you can't. In 1999, especially, you can't make a Flaming Carrot.
Tom Waits was in that.
He sure was.
Flaming Carrot. Have you seen Flaming Carrot's face?
Yeah. the shoveler. Yeah. He shovels well.
Oh, man.
Okay, I really like this movie. This is my number one.
The Blue Roger.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so that's the underappreciated list.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys want to look at this cartoon list for adults?
Do we have time? Yeah, let's
plenty of time on the internet.
Yeah, let's get...
They're positively made
of... Let's get 10 in. Let's get the lower tier 10 in. And we should pick up the next episode. We should just pick up right at it and not even let Matt know.
I agree. let's surprise him.
Let's really surprise him.
Number 25, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Okay. What is this cartoon list?
Top 25 cartoons for adults.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, whatever.
There's been a lot of cartoons for adults. I don't know if
Aqua Teen Hunger Force should be one of them. Yeah.
This list was made in April of this year.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Number 24, Daria.
Okay. That's kind of for teenagers.
Yeah.
Are teenagers or adults now? Is that how far we've gone?
I mean...
Yeah.
She graduated high school. She became an adult.
And
I don't know. Number 23 is The Boondocks.
Okay.
We're having trouble with this list.
I'm having trouble getting an emotion. These are... I don't think they're anywhere near the top. I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah.
And I don't know how adult they are. Like, okay, Boondocks is probably adult, right?
Yeah.
That's the closest I've
ever gotten. But it's also really kind of... It's...
I don't know. I feel like they're all very adolescent.
Yeah.
Well, this next one definitely is... 22 is The Tick.
That's not for adults. It's for everybody.
Yeah. Number 21 is fucking Ren and Stimpy.
That's not.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead's for adults. Ren and Stimpy is
adolescent.
Yeah.
It's for weird fucking kids. I do not care for Ren and Stimpy.
Fuck you.
All right. 20 is Samurai Jack.
Okay. That's straight up for kids, but adults can appreciate it.
All right. Let's keep on going with this list.
Number 19 is Gravity Falls.
Straight up for kids, just really good.
Number 18 is Avatar: The Last Airbender.
It's Okay.
Four kids, but good.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what the name of this should be. Four kids, but
good. These are cartoons for kids, but they're good.
Number 17, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's fucking stupid. What?
Moose and Squad.
Literally.
Rocky and Bullwinkle may be the best cartoon with no animation.
Scooby-Doo.
Number 16 is Beavis and Butthead.
Okay. There you go.
We made one.
Yeah.
Number 15 is Adventure Time.
Not for adults.
Number 14 is SpongeBob.
Oh, for literal babies.
Yeah.
Actual human babies. Number 13 is King of the Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
For adults.
There's a single adult in this. That's good. That's a good start. You know, like, adults should be present in the show. You know?
Right.
If you're gonna...
Number 12 is the Venture Brothers.
This is also arguable, but still, I think the Venture
Brothers. Here's the thing. It was for teens, and if they're still watching, they're now middle-aged adults.
They're now adults, yeah. Plus, there's a handful of David Bowie references in that show, so.
Number 11 is Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, that's fair, because
it's pacing, it's type of humor as well.
And if you really step out and – if you did that as a sitcom, it would be a really sad sitcom of poverty.
With the puns on the side.
Oh my god, they're fantastic.
They're Archer, come on.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Animaniacs.
That's for children. I watched it. I was 8.
It's for children, and it's good.
Yeah.
Number 9, BoJack Horseman.
Okay, that's for adults.
Yeah, that's for adults. That should be... in the top 3.
Because there aren't that many.
Because there's not yet.
Number 8 is Robot Chicken.
I don't know.
Arguably.
It shouldn't be on the list at all because it's not very good.
Yeah.
Bottom of the list and being like, yeah, of course it's for adults because it's for adults who were kids when the stuff they're making fun of was out.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like making... It's so pandering to a very specific
generation. But are they really adults?
Not when they're watching it, no.
They're, yeah.
It's making adult humor about fucking He-Man, right? So you have to have been the generation that watched fucking He-Man.
Right.
And Cats and shit.
Yeah.
Which means you're probably...
Yeah, I'm glad Seth Green found a use for his action figure collection.
Yeah, Seth Green.
Seth Green and Brookenmeyer. Yeah.
Yeah. Number 7 is Archer.
Okay.
That should be top 3.
That's for adults.
Yeah.
Number 6 is Family Guy.
I mean, I guess, you know, brain damage doesn't count as being young.
When Family Guy decides to craft jokes, they're very funny.
Yeah, no. When they make jokes.
And sometimes they just want to put Conway Twitty on for 4 minutes. And it's
a reference of a reference. And look,
the first 7 seasons of Family Guy are... very good. You know what? I'll give it the same amount of seasons as The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, for being relevant, good.
But the first season of Family Guy, the first 2 seasons of Family Guy aren't that good.
They were that good at the time because there was almost nothing.
They're as good as Simpsons seasons 1 and 2.
But I kind of feel like Family Guy is a Rocco's Modern Life episode when they take over Wacky Deli and they put the mayo jar on the screen.
Now see, Rocco's Modern Life. Is that a kid's show that's good, or is that an adult show that somehow we were allowed to watch?
You asked the hard questions.
Because it was on Nickelodeon. Somebody snuck that
in. Someone snuck Rocco on. And they're like,
because every joke is a joke that we were laughing at, and we couldn't have possibly gotten it.
Right, and then if you watch it now, you're like, oh, shit.
Number 5 is Futurama.
I'll take that for adults,
yeah.
Yeah. Number 4, Batman the Animated Series.
Not for adults, but kind of adults. It's like for everybody. It's for everybody.
Ostensibly for children, but kind of transcends.
Yeah.
So good. Number 3, South Park.
Adolescent to adult to a certain degree.
If you started watching as an adolescent, you now have 2 mortgages.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 2, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. Yep.
I'll take it. The nihilism alone.
And number one, The Simpsons.
It's so boring. Oh, that's God. Like topping your list with The Beatles.
I mean, I guess.
I'm going to do my list of number one movies for
best
adults.
English bands. The Beatles. Number one, The Beatles. Number two, The Rolling Stones. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, and honestly,
I don't know. Honestly,
I have more respect for them than they said Simpsons seasons 1 through 11.
Yeah. And then put the rest of them on another list.
But like, honestly, like, there's only out of all these shows on this list, there's only I think two of them that really touch real adult subjects.
Yeah,
and
the rest are adult because they just use
right
like, filthy language.
Vanity or they're gross.
Right.
Like that's why Ren and Stimpy is not.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead is sickly dark in places to a degree where you feel like maybe kids aren't appropriate to watch it, but that doesn't mean it's for adults either.
Right.
I'd say like I actually put Rick and Morty on the list of dealing with adult themes.
Yeah, I was gonna say Rick and Morty and BoJack Horseman are the two cartoons on this list that are actually that tackle adult subjects.
Yeah,
if it's nihilism
and
or if it's
depression
or
count
if it's
Venture and Archer as on the line.
Yeah, yeah,
because their humor is joking, and Bob's Burgers. All
yeah.
three of those are joking about adult. Like you have to be an adult to get the joke,
right?
Because you have to have gone through something,
right?
You have to have had sex. You have to have had,
right
know,
certain little things.
Own a business, have kids, lost something, you know,
right.
whatever. Have an old friend from high school who comes back. And making fun of your burgers. So then you like stuff, you know, weird shit. Your friend bought a boat for no reason because he's obsessed with his ex-wife. That's a Bob's Burgers episode. And that's something that kids don't get,
mm-hmm.
you know? But they'll get the two kids that are in it. It's a family
yeah.
show.
Family show.
Yeah. It's I feel bad for these IGN guys because I'm sure someone said, hey, write a list of the top 25 cartoons for adults.
Oh yeah, some editors.
I was like, oh, I've only got three cartoons that are actually for adults.
Yeah, or this is going to be an anime list.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
They specifically said anime is not on this list.
Yeah,
which is good. I think that.
Yeah, no, the editor definitely walked in and went 25 top cartoons for adults. You know, no anime this time. Walks out. He's like, no anime.
Fuck.
Comes back
I've got Rick and Morty.
Tomorrow morning. Shit.
I feel really bad. I do because
you know that
I can't imagine.
They have to crank out lists like it's nobody's
yeah.
business.
Because trust me, I Google when I go looking for lists and I check IGN first because they've done a list on everything.
Yeah.
Or and that. They revise their list every couple of years.
They do it. Top 25 video games of all time. Top 100 video games of all time. Top 300 Jeff Goldblum movies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We should do the top 25 Jeff Goldblum movies.
Okay, well, we'll do that. And why is number one The Fly?
Top 10 underappreciated Jeff Goldblum movies.
Number two, Earth Girls Are Easy.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Number three, his 20 minutes of Jurassic Park. Yeah, number four, his 5 minutes of Jurassic World 2.
Thor Ragnarok, number three. This is an interesting list.
Independence Day.
Well, no, you got to... Yeah.
Must go faster. What else was he fucking in? I'm trying to think of the...
Think of all of...
Oh, yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ah, yes. And, you know, The Big Chill, Buckaroo Banzai.
This list is making me sad. Let's not discuss this list anymore.
Why? You're sad about Buckaroo Banzai?
I was sad about The Big Chill.
Oh, The Big Chill is sad. You know who the body is, right?
No.
Kevin Costner was the dead friend in The Big Chill. All of his scenes got cut out except for him laying in a coffin and getting his buttons.
Fantastic!
That's beautiful. All right. Well, we've stretched this out as long as I think we could. despite having no content, we managed to make an hour of podcasting.
Yeah.
Thank you, IGN and Den of Geek for supplying us with plot for this episode.
Yeah. Hopefully, if they watch this episode, who knows?
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
The most underappreciated podcast.
I think
the last, number one, Nolan Nerdcast every day.
Yeah. Nolan Nerd.
We have 5,000 hours of content that no one's heard.
Hey,
it's not our fault.
Some Martian is real fond of us.
I know, right?
10 years from now.
Yeah. something's got to give. More people need to spread the word about the madness.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll be back next week. Matt will tell us all about Evo and how cool Yamcha is. Whatever.
Seagull.
So, yeah, until then, we will see you guys later. Same time next week. Bye, guys.
Later.
Bye. No.